When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, all you beautiful beings. Welcome to another amazing episode of One Shot. I'm your host, Big Bees, your happy, helpful harbinger of hype. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm bringing to you a fantastic game of Gunfucks by Adira Slattery. Gunfucks is a Borderlands TTRPG. Just some of that good old running gun looter shooter you know and love. I've got a phenomenal group of talented folks here, so let's get into the game. Hello, all you wonderful, beautiful beings out there. It's your happy, helpful harbinger of hype, Big Bees here. My pronouns are he, him. And we are going to be playing a fantastic game of just chaos and all the good stuff here. We're going to be playing the Borderlands one-shot called Gunfucks by Adira Slattery. Oh, man. Let me tell you, I've played this game before. You can actually find it on the one-shot feed. It was such a blast, and I got a hell of an adventure here today for everybody. So, without further ado, let's introduce all these wonderful, beautiful, amazing players I have here today. Let's just go in order of, reverse order of cameras. So, Nathan, boop, boop.
Hi, hello. If you don't already know, I'm your androgynous android game show host from the future, Nathan Blades, tabletop RPG designer, streamer, voice actor, and general internet ne'er-do-well, and the voice of Captain Orimar Vale on the Campaign Skyjacks podcast. But you already knew that.
So, Nathan, I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most badass thing you've ever done?
I am not a very badass person in real life, to be honest, so that's a very difficult question for me to answer. I like fenced for 2 years, I guess.
Whoa!
I'm not a badass person, I just, you know, kicked ass fencing.
I mean, as a beginner, I'm not like I'm not good about to enter the Olympics or anything like that, but it's the only sport I have ever liked. I am not a very athletic person, but I do know how to fence foil.
That is awesome.
Depending on who you ask, that's probably like the nerdiest sport. There's something you can take. I don't think it's badass at all.
I think it's badass.
Maybe
100%.
One day I can pick it back
fencing's
up.
Fencing's got some of the best uniforms of any sport. So
True.
Awesome. All right, let's move on next. Lev, let them know.
Hey, I'm Lev. I use pronouns they, them. I'm a TTRPG player, voice actor, general all-around nerd. Real happy to be playing with you folks.
Happy to have you. What is the most badass thing you've ever done?
I guess in high school, I got another girl's blood on me.
Whoa. Okay.
Because we were, I played soccer for like more than a decade. Mm-hmm. And she was harassing my defenders and I was a goalie, so I slide tackled her in the paint and she got
nice.
Bloody and I didn't. And they were real worried about me playing the rest of the game with another person's blood on my jersey. So I just
You were like, nah, it's just a mark of honor. It's to let the other players know. Yeah.
We got tie-dye jerseys.
Bring it on.
All right. Next up, we've got Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I use he, him pronouns. I am an AP podcaster. I appear on a little show called The Roaring Trainers, Kanto and the Jazz Age, which is a 1920s-themed Pokemon-inspired adult AP podcast that is for people that grew up with Pokemon and wanted a game that grew up with them.
So goddamn good. So, Aaron, you know what I'm going to ask? It's the most badass thing you've ever done.
So, I used to be a Zamboni driver. And as I was learning to drive the Zamboni, I was possibly driving just a little bit too fast. And didn't have enough time to kind of slow down before I had to make a turn, you know, at the end of the rink. Uh-huh. So I turned my water down, slowed down real fast, and I did some like sort of Tokyo drift power slide around the back of the ice rink without hitting the wall.
Yeah.
Hopeful that is exactly where that story was going.
The moment you said Zamboni, I was like, so help me God, there better be a drifting in this.
This person better have drifted a Zamboni. Oh my God.
Oh yes. My God. Like what? Everybody's like, oh, I don't really have any badass stories. Here, let me drop some badass on you. Boom. God damn. Oh, that's so good. All right, last but not least, we have James.
Hello, heroes. I am James D'Amato. I am the soon-to-be former host of the One Shot Podcast, the host and game master of the Campaign Skyjacks podcast, founder of the One Shot Network, and author of the Ultimate RPG Guide series for Adams Media. Oh, my pronouns are he, him.
So, please, let us, come on, bring it home. Bring it home, James. Most badass thing.
As a person who is nerdy, who has been nerdy most of my life, I did develop like a surprising string of hobbies. For a couple years in college and a little bit after college, I taught parkour. The most badass thing that I ever done, is everybody familiar with the idea of a roof gap, the concept of a roof gap? Mm-hmm. It's a thing
I'm
in
just
parkour.
Assuming that's jumping from one roof to
one
another.
One rooftop to another, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So that would probably be it, but I would also not recommend it as an activity for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to tell me. I will observe, but never participate.
Yeah, parkour, great thing to learn. You don't need to do everything. You don't need to do everything associated with it.
So, listeners, I have learned that everybody that I've invited to play today is badass as hell, and I'm super happy to know these things now.
Wait,
as I didn't know them before.
What's the most badass thing you've ever done?
Yeah.
Well,
turn it around.
Well, I did on the last time say about the car accident I was in, but I will tell a different one that I think is kind of no, that's just dumbass. That's not badass.
Hey, there's a fine line. Those are closely related.
So yeah, I will. I'll tell it anyway. I was stupid and in high school, as one is, and it was after school. We were all hanging out in the parking lot, and I decided to, you know, me the class clown I was, decided to hop on the back of my friend's car and just hold on and start, you know, everybody's laughing, we're having a good time, and she started to drive slowly around the parking lot, and I'm like, yeah, and she goes to turn. And I feel myself slipping, so I say, no, no, no. She apparently hears go, 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 and, like, guns it, and then you just get insert R2-D2 scream as I get yeeted off the car, slam my head, and, like, I'm paralyzed for, like, 3 seconds. And then finally I, like, get up, and I'm like, oh, that sucked. Completely monotone, like, just, that sucked. Everybody gets out. She runs over sobbing. Everybody stops and stares at me like they've seen a ghost. And I'm like, what's going on? And my forehead itches. So I go to scratch it and I look at my hand and it's just covered in blood. And I was like, oh, that sucks. I'm going to walk home, y'all. Now, for everyone, I lived literally a like 2.5 minute walk. Like I could throw a rock from the field. The track field at my school and hit my house. Mm-hmm. So I was right there. So I was like, yeah, I'll just walk home. She starts freaking out, screaming, crying. She's like begging me to get in the car. And I was like, okay, sure. I'm like not freaking out because I'm still in shock. So she takes me home. I get home and I'm like, okay, well, I think my mom's upstairs. So I'm like, hey, mom, can you come here? She comes out, looks down at me, sees me covered in blood. Runs downstairs like, what the fuck did you do? I was like, See, what had happened was I was talking with my friends and walking backwards and not paying attention, and I tripped and fell. So, ow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she, like, looked at me, and she was like, all right, let's hurry up and go before your grandmother sees you. I didn't know that my grandmother was over visiting at the time. So, like, on cue, she says that. My grandma comes hobbling out from upstairs. Oh, welcome home, baby. Oh, my baby. Just sees me covered in blood. She's like, Mom, go back in your room. And so she grabs me, throws me in the car, starts hauling nuts to the ER. And the loving, nurturing woman my mother was in that moment, I started to fall asleep because, you know, concussion. So, you know, she just, you know, gingerly tapped me is what I'd like to say. But what she actually did was saw me falling asleep and was like, wake your ass up. And just, wow, slapped me. And I was like, I'm up. I'm good. So then we get to the hospital. And the doctor looks at me and is like, what happened? And I told him the same story. He looks at me, looks at my mom, looks at me, looks at my mom, looks at me and goes, okay, all right, sure. And then he's like, all right, well, we're going to have to, we're going to have to staple your head. And I was like, he was like, don't worry, slap some like gel on my head. And it's like, that should numb it. You'll be fine. And all of a sudden my head starts moving and I hear, kajunka, kajunka, kajunka. And
was
just
a
get
that used to
no,
that?
He just no. grabbed a staple gun, like a medical
like,
staple
wait,
gun.
Wait. Like just, he just turned around on his desk and like pulled up like a swing line and was just like, all right, hold still, kid. Like,
well, like, yeah, like this little like machine he has where it just like fires staples. And so he like shaved the area around my head and then just and just stapled my head closed. And that's, you know, I sat there with staples for like 2 weeks or something until they fell out. I ended up pulling them out, but yeah.
Is it funny or strange that I pictured the kid you also bald?
And yeah. No, I mean, there wasn't. I didn't have a lot of hair, so yeah.
Like a medieval painting, Bees just looked like a smaller version of what he looks like right
yes.
now.
With just a jacket, with a coat on, hand inside the coat, one hand inside, and just, you know, standing atop a steed.
No scruff. Mm.
No,
that's
no scruff,
the only
no
difference.
Scruff. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was my dumbass moment.
I will watch out for an enemy with a staple gun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you ruined one of the bosses. Thank you.
Wow.
But yes, everyone. Now that is out the way, let's get into this world and this game full of sunshine and happiness.
Political intrigue.
So as I said, Gunfucks is by Adira Slattery. You can go check out their work on their itch page, adira.itch.io. This game is based on the Lumen system by Spencer Campbell, Gila RPGs. Anyone who has ever played Borderlands, this is pretty much Borderlands the TTRPG. It is fantastic. I love it, and I know you're gonna love it too. So as we go into this game, you hear a radio turn on, and you see, actually, instead of a radio, it's going to be one of those old, like, 1950 TVs that just come on, and, you know, it, like, takes a minute to focus, and then you hear something akin to, like, elevator music, but a little happier, and it just shows this wonderful tropical paradise. Welcome to the world of Daemon, where all your dreams, fantasies, and anything you could want in life can come true. Come see the springs, the wildlife, the people. And you see two people dancing, like, together, just smiling with, like, coconuts in their hands. Just, oh! You see that commercial, and then it starts, they continue talking, but the sound is starting to fade, and the picture kind of starts getting staticky and messes up a little bit, and it messes up more and more until it completely shuts off as that TV is crushed, and then the camera zooms out, and you see the exact location that they were talking about in the video, but it is a barren wasteland now. And you hear gunfire in the background, you still see the sign that says Welcome to Damon, and you see these weird crocodilian creatures running around, some bipedal, some quadrupedal, and you see one guy just like run by the camera, look left, look right, and he's like, oh God, help, where? And just, and he just gets pulled off of screen. And then it just like continues to zoom out and zoom out and zoom out to where you just see the entire planet is just, there's fires, there's just, it's like Mad Max on crack. And everything is, the planet is just a mess. And so, welcome everyone to the planet of Damon. This is where our story will take place. So, as that happens, a splash art pops up that says gun fucks, and it's just So, that star wipes onto a bus. You see a bus driving, and there's a guy sitting in the bus. He has big aviators on. He has a, what is it called? The hairstyle.
A mohawk?
No, not a mohawk.
Punk spikes.
No, it's on the top of, tip of my tongue. It's
pompadour?
Pompadour, thank you.
Oh, hell
yes. Man. He has a blonde pompadour, like extremely, like, at least like 2 feet from his face. And, he's just riding. He's got a sleeveless shirt on and some jeans. And he's just driving the bus, smiling from ear to ear, looking around. And he looks in his mirror, adjusts it, and he's like, hey, welcome, guys. Glad to have you here. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been able to actually, like, drive someone around. It's actually pretty cool. It's been shut down for the longest time. Oh, before I forget, sorry. My name is Grelbin Chadsworth. So, yeah, don't worry. I'm going to be with you on this entire journey. I'm going to show you around all of Planet Damon. You'll be fine. Yeah, we're going to head to, we're going to see a couple sites on this tour, so don't worry. I think, let's see, where are we right now? Hold on. And he, like, while driving, just puts his knees on the wheel and, like, whips out a map and just starts looking at it. And you hear just lots of doo-doom, 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 doo-doom. And you hear kind of, like, screeches as he's just running over crocos, as he's just not paying attention anymore. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, wait, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, easy, all right, I know the perfect place. All right, so guys, just remember that the number one rule on Planet Damon is you, and then the bus explodes. So, rewinding real quick a couple seconds, you see him go to say what he's going to say, and the camera pans to the right a little bit, and you see a glowing croco just charging the bus and just slams into the bus and detonates. So the front half of the bus is just gone. And like when it explodes, the back half just kind of flies up in the air. And I would like everyone to let me know a quick little action scene of how you get out of this, and we'll introduce your characters that way. So we'll start with Nathan.
Sure. One of the people in the back of the bus, long legs kind of draped and crossed over the seat in front as he's leaning back on his smartphone. He is wearing pristine white bell-bottom trousers and platform heels. There is a very frilly, like late 70s style silk shirt that is patterned in a kind of like Renaissance art style print with just people fucking in a very elaborate kaleidoscopic pattern all over it. Long, wavy, bleached hair, skin that has always caught the sun. Tan day is incredibly important, and big kind of like rose heart-shaped shades. This is Tiago Frostbite, a huge piece of shit. he was preparing to take a selfie while in the back of the bus on my way through Demon. It's gonna be real fucking cool. And as the bus is currently exploding is when the shot on the phone is taken, so we see Grelbin like mid being blown into upside down.
So as that happens, the explosion happens, and you just hear the click, and you see the picture of you see the photo that Tiago just took, and it just says right in front of, like, the splash art comes up, Tiago Frostbite. And what's your class?
The Nomad. In a world where everyone is running around with a gun, Tiago has a sword.
Hell yeah. So we got Tiago Frostbite underneath Nomad. And then underneath in that, in a little parenthesis, it says huge piece of shit. And so next, Lev.
A few rows behind Tiago. As long as Tiago's legs are, this person is the opposite. They are small, almost childlike, until you look into their eyes and you see a steely determination that no 11-year-old, or I'm not no 11-year-old, but 11-year-olds rarely possess. Mm-hmm. They've got their hair in two like braided pigtails down the back. It was probably to look cute at one point, but now it's just very serious and militaristic. They've got on kind of like a pink t-shirt with like a Hello Kitty on it that's got like heart bubbles around it. A little jean jacket that's got like flower patches all over it. Jean pants with like a little teddy bear, but the teddy bear's face has been like covered in what is probably dried blood. And those little light-up sneakers that that kids loved in the 90s.
Skechers, heck yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is Sally Mellon. Sally is crouched on their seat and had been halfway to putting their head out the window to look at the croc or the croco that was coming at them. And as the front of the bus explodes, Sally is already pulling herself through the window and like holding on to the inside to look out at the expanse before them.
As the bus flips up and is almost completely straight in the air, you see a little face pop out and just look around, and the camera zooms up on that and freezes, and it says, Sally Mellon, Zerker.
And as that happens, there's like a little smile, and you see like a row of braces across both
sets. Oh my God, yes.
Oh my God.
Does she have like the colored rubber bands on there?
Oh yeah, that like mm-hmm. The top ones are orange and the bottom ones are blue.
Great.
They look like an 11-year-old, but maybe not. You're not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, that is great, Aaron. What are you doing?
So as the bus explodes, you see a man that has like a striped polo that's tucked into a pair of like straight leg jeans. Right behind a fanny pack. And as the camera pans up, you see that he's wearing, you know, a nice white, fresh pair of Air Monarchs.
Mm.
And he reaches in when he sees the explosion. His first instinct is to reach into the igloo cooler that he had next to him on the seat and pull out a six-pack of his, you know, basement brew because he's an amateur brewmaster. And he
can't
shakes
wait to get
it up.
A 3-hour conversation with him about that.
Yeah.
he shakes it up, and because this is Borderland world, there's a lot of pressure that builds up in this sixer, and he lets it go, takes the caps off, and uses that to like propel himself out the window. And as he lands on the ground, he stands up and pulls one of the bottles from the pack and drinks the rest of it, whatever was left out of it. And the letters go over and it says, Russell Majakowski, good old boy.
That is great. So I think, I would like to say it was probably 5 of the 6 you popped open to get out of there, mm-hmm. because you knew that last one was just for emergencies only. And so you made it out and then cracked that last one open and you're like, That was great. And what class will you be playing, Aaron?
So Russell is an amateur brewmaster and compulsive gambler. So the reason Russell is on the planet is because he's in witness protection from gambling debts. So I will be playing the gambler.
Nice. Love it. And James, what are you doing?
Yeah, so we can see that, like, kind of silhouetted in the back during this horrible crash, there's someone else on this bus, and we cut to a shot outside as, like, the back of the bus is, like, flipping through the air and then, like, lands, like, kind of on its long side and crunches almost like an accordion, mm-hmm. and, like, there's this smoking heap. And then very quickly, that same Croco that, like, destroyed the bus in the first place comes over and grabs the bus in its jaws and, like, slams it back and forth really quickly, like, bam, 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 bam. Mm-hmm. And then tosses it off to the side. We follow now, like, this extremely compressed, like, metal heap that used to be the back of a bus as it flies through the air. And then we cut to a pile of, like, barrels and toxic chemicals that is just out in the wasteland somewhere.
As one does.
This shadow, like, smaller, then larger and larger and larger, comes down, and it explodes all of those barrels, and then, like, this flaming now wreckage, like, flies off into the distance even further. We can see, like, this plateau, this, like, big cliff face. It slams into the cliff face and just falls down, and the camera tracks it down, and we can see that this flaming wreckage has fallen on this, like, cottage core sort of desert cabin that was set up in the middle of the wasteland somewhere. And we can see just a pair of striped socks that are in some, like, high-heeled shoes that are just, like, sticking out from this wreckage, and they curl up inside the wreckage. And then pushing her way out is a woman who looks older than any woman you have ever seen in her life. If you're thinking, like, oh, I've seen someone 90, 100 years old, you need to push that way higher. Every single joint that she has looks like it contains at least 6 or 7 more joints than the average human body.
Oh, God.
It's that knobbly. Her skin is a dark green. Her hair is dark and wiry. She is about 5'2", and she looks to be about as wide as she is tall.
Nice.
She's got a little broom in one hand and a little bag in the other hand. She, of course, has many warts and whatnot on her face. And I think most notable thing about her appearance are her breasts. They look like they are 2 billiard balls and a pair of pantyhose. And, like, the programmers really paid a lot of attention to the physics of those, so they move quite a bit as she walks out. Mm-hmm. And the nameplate appears there. Deborah Thunderbutt, witch.
So I love to think, like, this happens and the other three are just kind of standing there watching it, just like boom, 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 just like moving their heads around, tracking as this bus is just yeeted in every direction. Mm-hmm. And finally she gets out and they're like, oh, okay, she's good. Great. Fantastic. Hey there, it's Bees again, and welcome to the Midroll. Let's take a quick break from our game so I can tell you about a couple of awesome things you should know about. Your adventuring party does a lot together, fighting side by side and saving the world or destroying it, depending on your alignment. But at the end of the day, how well do you really know them? The Ultimate RPG Campfire card deck gives you the opportunity to share your character's backstory and even create new details through question-based roleplay. Created by the RPG expert, author, and podcaster, our very own James D'Amato, this deck has 150 unique and interesting question cards to spark discussion, inspiration, and collaboration. You can pick up your Ultimate RPG Campfire card deck at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or wherever neat, nerdy things are sold. Did you know the listener surveys for the One Shot Host auditions are out? Patrons can find links on Patreon, and our lovely public feed listeners can find them at oneshotpodcast.com. Please go fill those out to show love to all these talented hosts and show support to your favorite. Now it's time for a nugget of wisdom from Big Bees' big bag of bad facts. Wasabi is only hot because no one ever says its name backwards, disabling its power. And with that, a quick word from our sponsors.
Our ride was destroyed. I don't believe this was supposed to be part of the package deal. So uncool.
Yeah, this is horseshit.
I don't know. Nothing a bunch of WD-40 and some duct tape can't fix, eh?
Alright, so you're like gonna obtain us a new ride? Or are you gonna drive?
Oh, we could hoof it too, eh?
Looking out at the wasteland, at the approaching towards us old lady with broom and bag. I don't see a new bus, asshole.
Pardon me, dearies. Was that your bus that landed on my cabin?
Yes and no. Mostly no. We were just using it to get around. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, my name is Deborah, sweetie.
Great. Like, Tiago is, like, texting on his phone, not actually making eye contact with you. Do you have a bus?
As you say that, you hear,
how about you come get it?
And you see, in the vast wasteland, there's one little bus stop. And there's a little kiosk there.
Who was screaming? Also, Zoom entirely ate that scream.
Oh, it did? Okay. Oh, dang it.
But no, but I mean, if you're recording on your end, it probably got picked up by the computer.
Okay.
So sure, sure, but I don't understand what you said, I guess.
Oh, it was just like a wee, you know, scream, and then it said, come on and get a ride.
Gotcha. Oh, I guess there is a bus then. Cool. It looks, what the hand on, even though he's wearing shades, hand to forehead looking in the hazy distance at this bus stop.
You don't see a vehicle anywhere in sight. You just see that bus stop with a little kiosk.
Oh my God, do we have to go and wait like poor people or whatever? Gross.
It's either that or sit in the desert. What do you want?
Well, my phone was destroyed, and I need to go make an insurance claim, so I'm not going to miss out on the last ticket.
And she, like, starts to hobble her way over towards this kiosk.
I guess sweating is more gross, so fine, you win, Sally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strides. I like the idea of us walking by each other, and because of the way our kind of like walking animation is, you take like three steps for every one step the other takes.
There's like four little footprints for every one stride.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get close to the kiosk, you hear them, you know,
all right, how about you get a ride?
And you know, you realize it's the kiosk just randomly on loops screaming, asking people to come and get a ride. And you see it spelled GIT-A-RYDE.
Is there like an interface on this speaker?
Yes, on the little kiosk. There's a little like it kind of looks like like an ATM without the buttons, so it's all touchscreen.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Deborah will be the first to reach the kiosk, and she's counting out her fare for this bus one penny at a time. So she's just like dropping each one in the machine and letting it click clack all the way down until it's counted before she drops the next one in. And just every menu that pops up, she's pausing like an extra 3 minutes to read it and reread it just to make sure.
The best part about that is it's a system that asks what kind of vehicle you want. That's the first menu. Like, if you want a, you know, like a SUV or just some kind of, like, buggy. And then it asks you weapon choices for said vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then it asks you on the third one if you'd like to change the color. So all of these, and you see Deborah just going and looking at it and then putting money into the machine, essentially breaking the machine because there is no coin slot. So just shoving money in there and then like pushing random stuff. And by the time she finishes, it goes, "Woo, doggy, all right, enjoy your ride." So it just materializes and it's a hot pink Jeep with two Gatling guns on the, like, two turrets on top, and then four seats in the, you know, two in the front, two in the back, and there's, like, little spots where you can sit on top, like, above everyone else to operate the turrets, and that just appears right in front of you all.
Tiago is immediately smitten with how sick this ride is. There is like an eye contact there. We get like a big starburst and like angelic music behind this Jeep. Behind the sunglasses, Tiago's eyes widen, cuts back to the desert scene. It's cool.
Sally doesn't say anything. As soon as the car materializes, Sally sprints and jumps and lands in one of the turrets and just racks a gun around. All right, are we doing this or not?
Russell, two hands on his fanny pack, calls out, "Shotgun!" And then he points up to one of the other turrets and there's actually
a shotgun.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's like a rotary turret of double barrel shotguns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can see like the point of Deborah's hat, like just peeking up above the windows as she slowly walks her way around the vehicle. She gets inside and she sits so low that it really just is the point of her conical black pointed hat that sits up in the windshield, and her two big green hands grab either side of the steering wheel.
Everyone, buckle your seatbelts.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Not opening the door, Tiago just steps just through.
Just steps into it.
Into the car. And props his katana with this kind of like elaborate floral pattern on the hilt that extends engraved into the blade. Just kind of by the seat as he sits in. All right, let's kick it.
Deborah will adjust the mirrors so that she can, if anybody has like any cleavage going on their characters showing a little chest, she will adjust the mirrors so that she can like
yes,
look
Russell.
At that. Yeah, yeah, she's looking, she looks at Russell. Russell's like pecs in the mirror and she's like,
but it's hidden behind an impressive collection of chest hair.
Nice. Even better.
I can tell it's in there somewhere though.
And she you know, shifts into gear and takes off.
All right. So we're going to do a little mini game as we head to our destination.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
As you do that, you know, you start driving. It's, you really have no idea where you're going. You're kind of just driving until you see the first speck of civilization. And as you do so, some of the, you know, cute little wildlife notices you. And they let out this horrifying guttural roar, followed by some chirping, and you see just a gaggle of multicolored broccos charging towards you. Hmm. So, your task is don't die.
Great.
I love that minigame. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of experience in this.
So,
James, I wish I had more.
We're going to start with you, since you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Let's roll canny. Roll canny for me, please.
Great. And I'm assuming I'm adding my stat.
Yes.
So that would be a 10.
Hell 10. Yeah. Woo. Oh, yeah. Surprising to everyone. You just assumed, okay, she's going to drive her at probably doing like 10 miles an hour and then crash into the first thing she comes across.
Oh, looks like we got a Chicago driver here.
Deborah hits, just like takes like 5 minutes adjusting the mirror and then adjusting the side mirror, making sure seatbelt is in correctly, pulling on it a little bit, make sure it's tight, cracks her fingers and let's do this. And then grabs the wheel, her eyes go wide and just guns it.
Oh yeah, I love the idea of her eyes just dilating in like this insane degree.
And just starts like drifting through, you know, just to get back onto the road. Like some crocos jump out of the way and like she like spins around them. Like there's three of them sitting there like waiting to attack, and she somehow manages to like Tokyo drift in between all of them.
The car only moves sideways. It's never actually moving forward. It goes from zero straight into a drift.
Yep. And so that's great. So next up, Sally, you come across the first croco that has like, it looks like it has a mist on it. It's kind of blue and it jumps towards you guys.
Sally is like sitting on their feet like kids do in restaurants, just to see like the sight on the
knees.
Thinking about it now, I'm like, ah. And they pull the whatever this like Gatling gun kind of thing up is, and with like a manic, terrifying cackle of glee, just pulls the trigger.
Oh. Can you roll carnage for me, please?
Absolutely, I can. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four in carnage, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry, do we add them together or do we just say, like, here's
the
sixes?
Yeah.
Take the highest. Okay, I have 2 sixes then.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a 10. That's a beautiful 10 there. You see this adorable young child-looking individual who just, you see just this demonic facade come up as they just start digging, just laying into this croco. It's juggled in the air for a good 10 seconds as it is not allowed to hit the ground as she just like lays into this thing. And then finally, it overheats, and the thing just hits the ground, skids, and, like, two of them look at that, look at you guys, and just run the hell off.
As it cuts back to Sally, their face has kind of morphed from this, like, cherubic, like, big-cheeked 11-year-old kid, and, like, has gotten a little, like, gaunter. There's, like, fangs kind of, like, distending from their teeth. Their eyes have kind of glazed over, like, almost red. They were, like a little green eye before, and they've, like, glazed over, like, red. The smattering of freckles have taken on also a red tint. Like, it's, like, a smattering of blood. They look a little demonic at this point.
That is great. So, Russell, what you got there, bud? You're sitting on the turret, you see this happen, and you see just this big old, like, rotund croco kind of just, like, it was first on all fours, and then as it gets closer, it start like, leans up and starts running on two legs, reaching for you.
Russell looks over at Tiago and goes, you know, I used to shoot on a weekend trap league, so, you know.
I don't care, just here, collect.
Here goes, and he grabs the turret with like surprising mechanical accuracy and unloads on this thing. I get to choose which I'm doing?
I was going to say carnage.
Carnage, all right.
The way you described everything, I will let you use a, because it's not just you going, yeah, I'm about to murder everything. You're like, oh, I've done this before. Hey, let me show you. This is gonna be great here. And you know, I've dealt with these before. So, yeah, go ahead, use, I want to say canny.
Canny?
Because it's not cool.
That's my best thing.
It's definitely not cool.
Let's do it.
It's definitely not cool.
Russell doesn't have a cool bone in his body.
Yeah, it's not bloodlust and it's not cool. So, canny, I'm going to need you to canny.
But this ain't Russell's first rodeo, so.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense.
So, you take the single highest?
Yes.
Yes.
So, it'll be a six.
Six? in total or six then plus Canny?
Sorry, just to double check something.
Yes.
Yes.
As far as I, it's in the attributes rolling dice, I don't think there's an add. You kind of just take the highest. 1 to 2, it fails. 3 to 4, it's a mixed success. And 5 to 6, it's a full success. Unless there is an additional mechanic here that I'm not seeing, just so I understand.
Roll a number of dice equal to the attribute, and then take the single highest result.
Oh, okay, so then that's my fault.
Okay,
so yeah, so then it's a 6.
So if it's a 1 or a 2, it fails. If it's a 3 or a 4, it's a mixed success. If it's a 5 or a 6, it succeeds.
Okay, so
one of the dice I did roll was a 6.
That's just a number of dice.
So we're okay.
Yeah, we continue to be Gucci.
Through different means.
Gotcha. That's fine. All right, so yeah, so it's a 6. So you just get 4 dice to roll.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So I rolled a 6, a 6, a 4, and a 2, and I kept one of the 6s.
Cool. All right, so yeah. You say all that, and Tiago's just like, whatever, I don't care. And just, you're like, alrighty then. And you just start going, and it's kind of like Sally's Gatling, except for, like we said earlier, it's a Gatling of shotguns. So as you're just like rotating the lever, it's just laying into this thing with shotgun shells over and over. And it just like, it just stands there and just takes the hits and then finally falls back. And you guys keep going with good old Drifting Deborah.
So as this is happening, after Russell had said that to Tiago, he's like unloading like this with surprising accuracy. And he's doing that face like Pedro Pascal in that meme with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just,
yes.
Check it out.
I think Tiago's giving you the Nicolas Cage look, and then you're giving the other one to him as you're just laying into this big old brute. Just, yeah.
I like the idea of the hand crank on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These shotguns That's are great. Just rotating.
So, Tiago, you've seen all this chaos going on. You see that Deborah is just weaving her way down this street.
And she clearly can't see over the windshield.
So it is some weird mystic power
using
or luck, extreme luck that's getting you guys through this without crashing at all. But she is doing it expertly. And you hear a boom. And you look over and there is just a flaming croco that's grabbed on to the vehicle and is climbing in and looking at you snarling. What do you do?
I think as the flaming croc is approaching, Tiago is like, hold on a second. And almost kind of like old school cartoon rubber hose style, we see a leg extend out of the car window as the full body kind of goes round to stand on the roof of the hood of the car. And there's like a Iardo style stance where you like prepare to draw the blade in one sweep kind of thing. We see him like stance. It's low. The bell bottom jeans are like tight. There is nothing to the imagination.
Deborah is like steering and then looks up like
just adjusting the mirror.
Yeah, between the legs, we can just about see as he stances up, ready to go, take a single slash at the croco, flaming croco, as it approaches.
All right, I'm gonna say roll with cool.
Yeah, it's gotta be cool.
Hell yeah! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now everybody rolled a 6, so if I don't roll a 6, I guess that means I'm out of the game and immediately die.
We'll see. Maybe.
I got a 5, which still counts as a full success.
A 5. That still counts.
You're still alive. Mm-hmm.
So I think what happens is that you're doing this badass dance, and this thing like looks over at you, snarls, and jumps at you, and you're ready. You're just like, all right, I'm waiting. As soon as it gets close, boom, done. And you go to draw your sword, and Deborah is a little preoccupied with your wonderful stance and the goodies on display, and hits a bump, and you like, oh, and you start to fall back, but like you just kind of like land on your butt because you were already kind of leaning down. So you just lean on, you hit your butt, and you're like, oh, okay, that's not bad at all. And you just shoo shoo Just slice it.
I like the... There is, for those who are big anime nerds, there is a Revolutionary Girl Utena had, like, an OVA episode where somebody basically rides on the hood of a car, just kind of posed sexily as the car advances towards the camera. Yep. So I like the idea of Tiago falling back on the hood of the car, just legs fully splayed open, like, welcome in, as the croco comes in, and the sword slices vertically upwards in the movement of Tiago falling backwards, and there's just an as the croco fully slides in half. The katana is ice element, as it happens.
Oh, so
it
does double,
it does like bonus damage to fire element enemies.
So you see as it gets split, the insides are frozen and the fire on the outside starts to die down, and it just goes right to both sides of you and hits the ground, and you see a little bit of blood shoot up, like the camera's behind Tiago, and you see blood kind of like spray out, and everyone's like, oh my god, like the people watching are like, oh no, he got hit, and the camera like goes up and leans over Tiago to show it was Deborah getting a nosebleed from the sexy pose.
The katana goes back into the sheath again. Disco.
So that was fantastic. Congratulations. No one died.
No one died.
So you pull up to this. Yeah, you pull up to this civilization. It's a little raggedy looking town. Town to say, you know, using that term loosely. It's like 8 buildings and a fence that really could use some TLC. But you see 3 towers, and in those towers, there's guys sitting up there. They're supposed to be looking out. At least one of them are asleep. And a little bit of hustle and bustle in this small little sphere of location. And you see, you know, some buildings inside. It's not really... You see 2 guys standing in front, waiting, you know, making sure nobody just walks in, kills everybody, and leaves. So they see you all approach, and they kind of like put their hands up to stop you. Deborah, what? Do you stop?
Well, I mean, I can't see them, so probably not.
All right. Do me a favor and roll with Carnage, please.
Carnage, okay.
Yes.
Just run over a man.
From the top of the car, you hear, yeah, do it! Get him! Get him!
That's only going to be a 3.
Okay, a 3. Fantastic. So, instead of just, like, mowing through everyone into the middle of this town, you go and you're not paying attention. You're just...
I'm still looking in that rearview mirror.
Yeah, you're still staring at that. And, you hit a rock that's, like, right outside of the gate. Mm-hmm. So you just, boom, hit that.
Yeah, I cannot emphasize enough, I've been, like, crashing through obstacles and whatnot, but this is the tiniest rock, like, the tiniest little
it's
rock
a small
that sends
pebble.
Us, like,
it's,
flipping.
Yep.
This is the penny on the train tracks.
Yep, exactly. And so it flips a couple times, and it lands right in front of the gate, and I think Tiago at that point is knocked off of it. Mm-hmm. Not like flung, but just like the abrupt stop, you kind of just slide off.
So, funny thing, especially because one of my abilities as a nomad is just to like teleport, like a teleports behind you. Sorry about that.
Nice.
We didn't see Tiago like escape the exploding bus, but he still like enters frame with everybody else. In a very similar instance here, we see like the car flip, and then Tiago from like frame left just kind of walks in being like, you should be more careful or whatever.
And like everybody goes online on Reddit and everything and bitches about how it doesn't make sense that Tiago escaped the bus crash, and then like some people go on there to reply and like slow down the footage of the of the car flipping, and as they do, you see the car start to flip, and as the car passes the guards, you see Tiago standing next to the guards, just an elbow on one of their shoulders, watching as this happens.
Russell, for some reason, keeps telling everybody the same joke individually over and over again. So he goes to like each person and he's like, rough turbulence there. You know, we survived though. Tray table up, seat back in the full upright position. And nobody's laughing. So he goes to like the next person and tells the same exact joke again.
Sally absolutely like spits a little bit of blood toward him. Not at him, but just in his direction. Like, why are you telling me this? I've heard you say it 4 times.
I was like, from laughing or just like as a like a hiss?
Just as a hiss. A full feral child hiss.
Daintily floating back down to earth from the explosion, Deborah's dress has just like gathered up all of the wind, and she is just like delicately floating back down to earth.
Nice. So you all, you know, land there, and you're all fine from your various escapes, and you turn to see a sign that's kind of crooked, and it says, "Welcome to Bournemouth."
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Detonation Blues by Fillmore, Hello and Good Morning by Liberty, Swamp Thang by Phantoms, JNTR by Sam Barsh, Midday March by Fairlight, Square One by Avocado Junkie, Fight by Brightseed, and O Mio Babino Caro by Messages and Portraits. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Well, that's the episode. I really hope you enjoyed part one of Gunfucks. We're continuing this wonderful train wreck of badasses next week. I hope to see you there. Before you go, here at One Shot, we like ending our episodes with a call to action. This week, take a moment out to let a friend know you thought of them. Tell someone you haven't spoken to in a little bit how a memory of them made you smile. Or just send someone a cute animal gif. You never know what someone is struggling with and how much knowing someone is thinking about them can mean more in that moment than you could ever know. It doesn't cost anything, but could be priceless to someone in their time of need. Thank you to all our patrons. Your support helps keep all this greatness going. If you want to support in a non-monetary way, share the show with friends, blow up their DMs, invite them on a long car ride, and then get them hooked. Also, leave some 5-star reviews on iTunes. They increase our visibility, and written reviews help others find us. Like, you know, if you wanted to rant and rave about how you love that host Bees and all of his bad facts, you know, that's the perfect place to do so. Please tune in next time and take care of yourselves.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. We are adventurers. We've been to every place.
Design Doc started as a podcast about designing a role-playing game. Over the years, it's turned into so much more. It's a show about the challenges of burnout, making money from creative projects, and what goes into bringing a game to life. Come along with Hannah and Evan in a living documentation of the game design process. One review described it as the audio equivalent of taking a hike with a good friend. You can search for Design Doc on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.